Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kennard Brown speaking. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program. We're going to follow the Bible study or continue the Bible study that we were doing on Malachi, the book of Malachi. But first, what we're going to do is cover some world events here. Please, if you are by your PC, go to www.watch.org to see what's going on in Jerusalem. This is Koenig's World Watch Daily. October 20th, 2015, two Palestinians, one Israeli killed in attacks. Israeli's civilian killed in stone-throwing incident. Perpetrator of attack killed. Palestinian attacker shot while trying to stab soldier during riot. So this is not good. Another article states the following. Israeli army arrests top Hamas official in West Bank. As Russia reasserts itself, NATO opens biggest exercises in years. So there are things that are really heating up in the Middle East. We need to pay attention. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, he says, watch and pray that you may be worthy to escape all these things. So, and of course, the things are the things that will end up starting a great tribulation. All right, let's take a look at another website that I turn to frequently. It's called the Economic Collapse Blog. The Economic Collapse Blog. If you are by your PC, you can go there with me. And this is an interesting website. It states the fact that we need to be prepared and ask a question. Are you prepared for the coming economic collapse in the next Great Depression? That is a great question that we each must answer. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for what's going to happen? Anyway, global trade is collapsing as the worldwide economic recession deepens. When the global economy is doing well, the amount of stuff that is imported, I'm just reading the article here, and exported around the world goes up. So let me repeat that again. When the global economy is doing well, the amount of stuff that is imported and exported around the world goes up. And when the global economy is in recession, the amount of stuff that is imported and exported around the world goes down. It is just basic economics. Governments around the world have become very adept at manipulating other measures of economic activity, such as GDP, but the trade numbers are more difficult to fudge. Today, China accounts for more global trade than anyone else on the entire planet, and we have just learned that Chinese exports and Chinese imports are both collapsing right now. But this is just part of a larger trend, as I discussed the other day. British banking giant HSBC has reported that total global trade is down 8.4% so far in 2015, and global GDP expressed in U.S. dollars is down 3.4%. The only other times global trade has plummeted this much has been during other global recessions, and it appears that this new downturn is only just beginning. So you can click the hyperlink there and get more information if you desire. All right, so with that, we can get into this Bible study on the book of Malachi. If you have your Bibles, I think we left off at chapter 3 of Malachi. And so let's turn there. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. beginning in verse 1. I think we read this last week, but we'll go ahead and do it again. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the master whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the master of hosts. Verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appear? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, or Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return, do teshuvah unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, where shall we return? In verse 8, will a man rob Yah, or God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herein, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Master of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. And so this is an interesting scripture, ladies and gentlemen. It talks about that Israel, all 12 tribes, are prophesied to be stingy, of withholding tithes and offerings. And, you know, as a Torah teacher, minister, I know this to be true. It's very difficult to do what I do, to preach his words. And when people hear these words and they learn something from it and they don't give, that's not right. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it states the following. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. It tells us plainly about elders, and that elders should be held in high esteem, and that they should be compensated for their work. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think it's verse 17. Yeah. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So that tells you that work can consist of writing, speaking, and teaching. For the scripture says that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That word in the Greek means wages or pay. So this is certainly scriptural, not just in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, also the New Testament. This is something that should be emphasized, and occasionally Torah teachers should remind their students that they should give, especially if there's no consistent giving. So this is a very important concept to understand. Galatians is another scripture I'm going to turn to. Galatians chapter 6. It says in the King James Version, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, communicate means in the Greek to distribute, to share. And so the student's responsibility when they are learning from something from a Torah teacher, their responsibility is to share what they have with the teacher. All right, so let's go back to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 13, it says, your words have been stout against me. Stout in the Hebrew means strong and courageous. Against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Ordinance in the Hebrew means ordinance, acts, his watches. Okay, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord or the Master of Hosts. In verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are set up. Yes, they that tempt Yah are even delivered. Now this is talking about the Book of Remembrance. Malachi 3 verse 16, then they that feared the Master spake often one to another, and the Master hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Master and that thought upon his name. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, says the Master of Hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yah and him that serveth him not. All right, so the pivotal last chapter. Now, in the Tanakh, the Malachi chapter 3 and 4 are merged. Anyway, in Malachi 4 verse 1 in the King James Version, for behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and this is what I end my program on, this chapter, in a dramatic Bible fashion. I have a dramatic Bible audio clip that I include as the outgoing message for this program, or the end of the program. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, that simply means they will not exist anymore. If you have vegetation and you plant and you uproot the plant, then what happens? The plant dies. And so that's synonymous with a human being. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, or corner, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Verse 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Master of Hosts. And in verse 4, states plainly, remember ye the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Hor for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. And in verse 5, behold, I will send you Eliyahu, or Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Master. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the Hebrew for that means son, and the heart of the sons to their fathers, that not I come and smite the earth with a curse, and curse means in Hebrew utter destruction. And so this is interesting that it talks about in the beginning of this chapter, and remember the Bible wasn't written in chapters, and I'm talking about this segment, of the scripture, of the book of Malachi, is talking about a specific day that will annihilate people. They won't live again. And it ends with an allusion to Moses and Eliyahu. And it states that Eliyahu would come before the day of the Lord. Now, we've had two Elijahs so far. The first one, of course, lived back during the days of Ahab and that wicked woman called Jezebel. The second one, Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptist, lived during the times of Yeshua Messiah. Now, many people don't understand that there will be a third one. I know Jews understand this because during the Passover Seder, they have a fourth cup for the prophet Elijah. And among Jews, they understand that Elijah must come, and Elijah's responsibility is to restore truth and restore doctrines and settle all disputes or issues with misinterpreting scripture. And this is what they teach. They teach this. They teach that Elijah must come before the coming, the second coming. Well, actually, they think it's the first coming, but we understand it as being correctly the second coming of Yeshua. So this is an interesting, I'm going to spend some time talking about this because this is interesting. And the way things are is a very high probability. Well, maybe not a high probability, but it's a probability that Eliyahu is coming on the scene soon because of the way things are in the world right now. But again, the Jews are prepared for Eliyahu to come. And so we should be as well, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's look into this further. What did Yeshua say about Eliyahu? Well, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 11. Actually, let's look at verse 10. Matthew 17, verse 10. And his Talmudim asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Eliyahu must first come?" In verse 11, and this is the pivotal verse, I'm going to go slow with this. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, "Eliyahu truly shall first come and restore all things." So that word restore in the Greek means reconstitute, make healthy again, all things. Okay, so that means what it means, ladies and gentlemen, that he's going to continue the process. Just like with John the Baptist, he prepared for the first coming of Messiah. Well, this Elijah to come will prepare for the second coming of Messiah. And again, Jews have always taught that this individual will come and he will settle all disputes. He will just prepare everybody for the second coming or the coming of Messiah. And so that is something that, let me read to you what Stern stated in Matthew 17, verse 10. Says this teaching is based on Malachi 3 verse 1, Malachi 3 verse 23 to 24, and Malachi 4 verse 5 to 6. And it is kept alive in Judaism every Passover, as I stated, at the Seder meal, when an extra place is set for Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, and a door is open to welcome him should he be there. 3 points. Yochanan the Immerser, if you are willing to accept it, was Eliyahu. Number two, Eliyahu himself had in fact come first by appearing there on the mountain. And three, Eliyahu may yet appear before Yeshua's second coming. I'm going to say that he is going to appear based on what Yeshua stated. He said that because Yohanan did not restore all things to the point of Yeshua coming his second time. It was just for his first coming. So this Elijah must come again, ladies and gentlemen. And there's evidence that it is possible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Ruach or the Holy Spirit had inspired Shaul or Paul to state the following. He says, "Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of the Master Yeshua Messiah, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." And so why would he say this unless it was possible through the Ruach to do, ladies and gentlemen? The first Elijah was very, very, very picky about about the law, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a look and investigate the first Elijah, First Kings chapter 18. And, you know, Jezebel was trying to kill Elijah, and it didn't happen, of course. And Elijah made a good point here. In verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, "And Eliyahu came unto all the people and said, How long will you halt ye between two opinions? If the master be Yah or Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answer him not a word. So this is the kind of prophet that Elijah is. He is a prophet that will not take compromise, ladies and gentlemen. He will not take compromise. And we need to be the same way. We need to be the same way in regards to his Torah, ladies and gentlemen. We should not be willing to compromise with that. We shouldn't have several opinions about how to keep the law when it's pretty plain in the scriptures on how we should do it. And so that's something that we need to remember and inculcate in our beings about that. And so, you know, Elijah really had it tough back in his days. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Ahab's wife trying to murder him. And it was just very difficult for Elijah to preach, but he found strength from Yah to do that. And so he was a very powerful prophet, very powerful prophet. And he was used mightily. He was used mightily to change things during that time. And Ahab was one of the most wicked kings ever in the history, of kings. And Elijah went through a lot of trials, and he went through a lot of, he just went through a lot. And it just only confirms that through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of Yah, ladies and gentlemen. And Eliyahu, as the Lord's brother, James has stated, went through a lot of suffering. But in the end, Yah gave him the strength and the power to overcome all the persecution that was laid upon him. And he was very strong and courageous. The second Elijah was John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 3 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. You guys can turn here. Luke chapter 3. Let's closely read this to understand his personality. Actually, let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And so this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. I'm going to look at the context here. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name Yochanan, verse 14, or John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the master, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So he was one of the few. He was filled by the Holy Spirit from the womb. Jeremiah the prophet and Yeshua the prophet was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the master their God. This is a prophecy. Verse 17, and he shall go before him, before the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Eliyahu. So Yochanan went in the spirit and power in the character of the first Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And so let me stop there. One of the things that the spirit and power of Eliyahu will do is reconcile families. And so this prophet, whoever he is going to be concerned about families being reconciled. That is a big problem, not just in the assemblies, but outside the assemblies. The entire world has an issue with families. And this individual is going to teach about families, how to have proper structure in families, how to go about the proper way of marrying. It's all got something to do with families. And then families must learn how to resolve conflict. They must learn how to do all those things. And so, obviously, Eliyahu will be concerned about reconciliation of families, because without the family, a society will fall. And so, it says right here, Eliyahu will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So if there is a segment or remnant that the Lord has reserved, they have to prepare themselves to meet the Lord. And they certainly must learn how to get along with each other. And they must certainly learn how to resolve conflict. And they must certainly learn how to have the proper family structure. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of Yah, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And so he made him dumb, and then we know the story. And I'm going to skip on down here to help us understand who this Eliyahu in the future will be, what kind of character he will have. Let's skip down to, I think it's Luke chapter 1, and 70, let's go to 70. Six. Here we go. So this is a prophecy from, read Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, this is the father of John the Baptist. Verse 68 of Luke chapter 1, blessed be the master Yah of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, and he's talking about John the Baptist here, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That is Eliyahu kind of talk. Verse 77, now this is the responsibility of this prophet, to give knowledge of salvation. So he's going to teach people what is salvation, how do you obtain it, what is it all about, to his people by the remission of their sins. So this prophet will be preaching about repentance, the importance of change, of doing teshuva. Verse 78, And he's going to do it through mercy, through the tender mercy of our Yah. And so this prophet will understand mercy and how to give it and how to have compassion, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Verse 79 of Luke chapter 1. To give light to them that sit in darkness. So he's going to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and will guide our feet into the way of peace. And so this prophet will certainly talk about peace and how to obtain it. What is the way to peace? And they're going to be concerned about the world being at peace and people being at peace and communities and families being at peace. And so he's going to be concerned about that as well. So that should give you an idea of who this Elijah will be or is, if he's currently living right now, and what his mission will be. His mission is to restore the truth and to get the assemblies ready for the tribulation, because the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 7, that the wife shall make herself ready. Let's turn there, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. All right, so if we have to make ourselves ready, ladies and gentlemen, it's something that we must do. This prophet will help the wife get ready. Get ready. Yeshua is not going to marry a wife that's not compatible with him, that's not up to his standards. Just like a man should marry a woman that's not up to God's standards. The same thing. Yeshua certainly has that same expectation for us. Symbolically, we are all his bride. So we must get ourselves ready, ladies and gentlemen, for that event to occur. And the book of Malachi is a very important book to study. It talks about teachers or priests not teaching right. It talks about, and let me go over that scripture again in Malachi. This is a prevalent attitude among many today in the world. It says in Malachi 2 verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, any delight in them, or where is the God of judgment? And you have people questioning that today. Where is the God of judgment? Where is it? And you have people, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which was spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and the Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Yah the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Then in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Master as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, this is what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen, is about repentance. And the book of Malachi is a stern message, prophetic message, and we all need to adhere to what the prophet Malachi was inspired to write. So we have to prepare, because we know Eliyahu will be on, if he's not already on the scene, he will be on the scene soon, and we need to prepare for a restoration, a restoration of truth, a restoration of understanding the truth, because the Bible indicates that that is possible. Let's turn to John chapter 17, verse 14. Well, it says that the world hates us, but also I wanted to look at John. I think it's John 14. John 14, verse 17. Even the spirit of truth. So the spirit is of truth, of Torah, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, what is key in this scripture is that the world cannot receive the Spirit of Yah. In other words, it's not being offered to the entire world right now. However, in the future, that will be the case. But that's another Bible study to talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand what the Holy Spirit can do and what it's supposed to do. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 10. But Yah has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So that Holy Spirit will search all things, even the deep things. Now let's go to John chapter 16. Verse 13. Now this is a scripture that I believe totally. It says in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Torah, the instructions and doctrines of Yah, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, all truth. And that means all to be able to understand it. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Ruach, when you have the Holy Spirit, it will give you a prophetic sense. It will help you to understand prophecy. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yeshua. Worship Yah, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And so you'll have the mindset of prophecy, and you'll be able to understand prophecy. And so that is very important to reflect on there. The fact that you will understand prophecy. And you'll be able to understand the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a very vital book. And in the first chapter, let me read a few verses, it states, the revelation of Yeshua Messiah, which Yah gave unto him to show unto his servants, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant Yochanan. Verse 2. Who bear record of the word of Yah and of the testimony of Yeshua Messiah and of all things that he saw. And verse 3, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words or understand the words of this prophecy and keep those things wherein are written therein, for the time is at hand. So this book was not meant to be understood until the time is at hand. And one of the things that I wanted to mention here is the fact that all the prophetic books, including the book of Malachi, is tied into the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation summarizes all prophecy, including the prophecy of Malachi. The prophecy of Malachi. And it's very probable that Eliyahu will be used to preach the gospel around the world. That's something that must occur. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. It says, in this gospel, 24 verse 14, Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And so, and it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And so, in Revelation chapter 14, states the following. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Redeemed in the Greek means redeemed, purchase from the earth. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yah. And now here's a pivotal verse in this chapter, verse 6 of Revelation chapter 14. And I saw another angel fly in the midst, or in the middle of the sky, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear Yah and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. The hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's talking about today, the spiritual Babylon. Today. Physically, New York City obviously has all the elements of Babylon, and this country does. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yah, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Master or the Lamb. And so, we know that the gospel would be preached around the world, and in all likelihood, it's not impossible to think that Elijah can play a role, or Eliyahu will play a role in doing that, ladies and gentlemen. And so, when we take a look at Revelation chapter 11. It's really interesting when it talks about the two witnesses in verse 3. This is in the context of the start of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 11, verse 3, and I will give, and that word power was added, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth, which was material garments and was worn as a sign of grief. So obviously these prophets will be grieved. And I'm sure they'll be grieved when they see all the destruction that the judgments of God will cause on the earth. Verse 4. Who are the two witnesses? Well, the Bible gives us clues. Revelation 11, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yah of the earth. Now, the two olive trees, you look at Psalm 58, I think verse 6. 58, verse 6. I think it's verse 2. Oop. But there is a scripture where it talks about a human being an olive tree. And so I think it's 56, verse 8. Let me find it here. because that is really a significant scripture here. Let's see if I can find it to explain this. What an olive tree can represent. This is Psalm, let me see. Yeah, 52, verse 8. All right, so it's Psalm 52, verse 8. It says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of Yah. I trust in the mercy of Yah forever and ever. So that's Psalm 52, verse 8. And so getting back to the description of who the two witnesses could be. It states these are the two olive trees. Could be two human beings and two candlesticks. A candlestick in the book of Revelation is defined as being an assembly. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven assemblies, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven assemblies. So if we want a Bible definition of who the two witnesses could be by using the scriptures to interpret scriptures, it plainly states that the two witnesses consist of two olive trees, could be two human beings, and two assemblies standing before the Yah of the earth. Now what's interesting about these witnesses, whether they're just two people or two people leading two groups, in verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must be, in this manner, be killed. Verse 6, these have power to shut up heaven, that it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Now, didn't this happen during the time of Eliyahu? It did not rain for, what, 3.5 years? Yeah. And have power over the waters to turn them into blood. Now, you know which prophet did these things through the great power of Yah. It was Moses. So it appears that these witnesses, whoever they are, whatever they consist of, will certainly have the spirit and power of Eliyahu and Moses. And it's interesting that they're going to be so powerful. It says, let me read verse 6 again, Revelation 11, verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So it's interesting that these characteristics of Eliyahu and Moses is pretty clear here in this verse. Excuse me. It's clear in this verse. And then when you turn to Malachi chapter 4, it talks about Moshe and Eliyahu in the context of Eliyahu reconciling families and restoring doctrine and handling disputes and so forth. And so the spirits of both Moses and Eliyahu certainly is in the context of the end times. And so in these end times, there will be a reawakening of keeping the Torah. And Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the foundational doctrines of Yah. And then in these end times also, there will be a renaissance of people going back to the correct family structure, understanding what it takes to have strong families. And so these two elements are occurring as I'm speaking, ladies and gentlemen, which proves that we are certainly living in the end times. And so I hope you have enjoyed this Bible study on the book of Malachi. And I hope that you understand the significance of these two individuals leading two groups, or just two individuals. It appears that they will have the spirit of Moses and have the spirit of Eliyahu. And they will have great power spiritually and physically to preach their message around the world for 1,260 days. And they will be clothed in grief. They will have great sorrow and grief for seeing all the destruction that will occur upon the earth, because people are sinning. And, you know, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9 states the following. It says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So unfortunately, it's going to take that for people in the world to finally get it, ladies and gentlemen. And so, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the Bible study in the book of Malachi. And Yah willing, I will be available for you next week. Shalom. Peace.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.